I saw a news headline, I think it was a couple weeks ago, talking about the difference of your brain activity when you hear recorded music and when you hear music live in person. And they were doing some, I don't know, brain scan with somebody listening to the Philharmonic, and then they would play songs in person, and somehow it was just a different parts of the brain that were affected. And so I'm thankful for live streaming. I know there's many that cannot make it into church, but I'll tell you, there's nothing like being in church and worshiping together. I hope that you take time out of your week to pray for our shut-ins, those that would love to be here but cannot, and we want to be a blessing to them and to pray for them. And but I'm so thankful that God wants us to meet together, and when you are able, you should, and praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles tonight and turn it to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I wonder how many of you have heard the name Shubal Stearns. Yeah, many people have heard about Shubal Stearns. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he was part of the New Lights, and he believed in what they called at the time the New Birth. That was kind of a new thing. Because a lot of the Congregationalists and the Halfway Covenant, just a lot of people were not really experiencing the new birth. They just had church membership. And Shubal Stearns come down to North Carolina, Sandy Creek Baptist Church, and they start sending out family after family, man after man, to go out and start these different churches. You ever wonder why North Carolina, South Carolina is considered the buckle of the Bible Belt, or why there's a Bible Belt at all? I believe it can be traced back to Shubal Stearns and his desire to see churches planting churches. And what an exciting adventure it is that he just did some amazing things for the Lord, and God used him to see many churches planted. Some would say that there are some 750 or 800 different church plants out of Sandy Creek. I read in one place that there were so many men sent out of Sandy Creek that the church eventually did not have enough members to keep the church going. They had all been sent out to start other churches, and those churches started churches, and that is why you have the... But I started thinking about this. Could I name one single church planter that came out of Sandy Creek other than Shubal Stearns? Good, faithful men that served, that had a hand in starting other churches? Not off the tip of my tongue. I'm sure I could go back to Sandy Creek and start doing some research. But I think about all the faceless and nameless saints that have faithfully walked with the Lord, done some great things for God, and they're unknown to me. But I want to remind you tonight, they're not unknown to God. And I think that we live our lives maybe because of the Hollywood industry that I grew up around, the just waiting in this idea of celebrity and stardom and fame, that we are waiting for God to thrust us out front so we can be, in a sense, a super Christian, that our name will be written in the history books and will be on the forefront of everybody's tongue and be used as a sermon illustration. Listen, some people are used as an illustration. They don't want to be, okay? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we if we're not careful, we as Christians will have the celebrity mindset that the world has about fame and popularity, and we will miss what God wants us to be most of all: faithful. I'm thankful for Shubal Stearns' faithfulness. I'm not taking away from the saints that we can look back on, and the Spurgeons and the Moody's. I'm thankful that God used them. But I think if you study their lives, you'll find out that they were not pursuing a renown. They were not pursuing celebrity. They were pursuing God. And God used them, listen, because of their faithfulness. I wonder sometimes if Christians are faithful just waiting to be used by God. I think that's the wrong motivation. That's putting the cart before the horse. And great men and great women are not made at a single instance. I will tell you, all of those men, that you read about, whether it's in the Bible or the biographies I have on my shelf. It was a life of faithfulness, step after step after step. And God used them because of their faithfulness. But our goal should not be to be written in the history books. Our goal should not be to be at the top of everyone's mind as the greatest Christian who ever lived. And our goal should simply to be to serve the Lord to the best of our ability and let Him use us as He sees fit. And when you come to the end of your life, if you've been faithful, I promise you God will have used you to impact this world for His glory. Daniel chapter 6, before we get there, I want to rehearse how we find ourselves in the place, well, where we find Daniel, in the place that he's about to be thrown. In chapter 1, Daniel and his friends are taken into captivity in Babylon. They are selected for training in the king's palace. Daniel purposes in his heart that he is not going to defile himself with the king's meat there, and he opts for a diet of vegetables, and Daniel is blessed by the Lord. His friends are blessed, and they are found really to be healthier than the other ones that are imbibing of the wine and the food of the king. By the time we get to chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar is having a troubling dream that none of his wise men can interpret. Daniel, through God's revelation, interprets that dream, and it reveals a vision of future kingdom, and Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges the God of Daniel as the one true God. In chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar builds the great golden statue, and what does he do? This big idol, he commands everyone to bow down and worship it. And we know that those three Hebrew boys would not do it, and they are thrown into the fiery furnace, and God delivers them from Har, and Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges once again the greatness of their God. You start to see kind of a repetition here. In chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar has another dream about a tree that's cut down. Daniel interprets the dream, and he's really foretelling Nebuchadnezzar's downfall due to his pride. And God never gives a prediction that does not come true, and it comes true very quickly. And after a period of insanity and madness, Nebuchadnezzar once again acknowledges the sovereignty of God. In chapter 5, Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, holds a great feast using the vessels that he had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem. And this mysterious hand appears and writes a message on the wall, which Daniel interprets as a judgment against Belshazzar. And that very night, Belshazzar is killed, and the Babylonian Empire falls to the Medes and the Persians. All this while, Daniel has been a state figure. He's been a relied upon confidant to several of these different kings. Now, there's three kings that he will have served. But after all these years, while the rulers have changed, the culture hasn't. Still idolatrous. The kings are still wicked. They are godless. And after all those years of God's remnant being there in Babylon, they have not impacted that culture. Babylon is left unchanged. There's no great revival recorded in Babylonian history, even while Daniel was there. And had we not had the revelation from the Holy Spirit of God, you and I probably would have never heard of Daniel. But when we look at the faithfulness that Daniel had towards his God, it seems that this faithfulness you think would be upheld, but in that day and in that culture, him being a monotheist, worshiping one God, the one true God, rather than being praised by those other Babylonians, not other Babylonians, but the Babylonians, the ones that he was living amongst, all he was given was hatred, jealousy, a plot against his life, and ultimately a death sentence in a den of lions. But even through that, Daniel remained faithful. He was faithful. I never read in Scripture anywhere that Daniel complained about his circumstances. We never see him looking for plan B. I see some Christians that have plan B going on. Well, I'll serve the Lord. And it seems when things don't go the way that they thought they would, then there's an exit plan. Listen, God's not looking for Christians that are looking for plan B. Daniel was a faithful young man, and he grew into a man, an elderly man, that was faithful. Why? Because he had a daily walk with God. I want to look at a passage that is very, very familiar, but I hope that you'll walk away here tonight thinking about some characteristics of Daniel that helped him to be a faithful believer. And that you'll look at your life and ask yourself, do I have these characteristics? Am I a faithful believer? Do you want to finish strong as a strong Christian? As a believer that has an impact in the world? Some influence in the sphere that God gives you, then be faithful. You must be faithful if you're going to impact this world for Jesus Christ. I'm going to read the first 9 verses, and we'll go through some of it here. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. The first thing I want you to see this evening is Daniel's integrity. Daniel's integrity. You know, when we look at verses 1 through 3, I'll not reread them, but we see Daniel's station. Where is he? He's a slave in Babylon, and yet he is raised to be a leader, a ruler, found with wisdom and cunning and skill. He's taken from his people. He's trained in the ways of the Babylonians. But all through his childhood, going into his adult years, and even when he's thrown into the den of lions, when I believe he is an elderly man, we see that his faith and his walk with his God never wavers. He is straight as an arrow. He is consistent. He has integrity. What is integrity? It means he was a man of character. He did what was right. That's so important. I mean, 120 princes were ruling over the kingdom, and they had different provinces, and then there were 3 presidents that were set. Listen, we have problems with 1 president in this country, right? But they had 3, and you understand, it was just a name given of a higher hierarchy. And so then Daniel was going to be set in front of them. So if you were looking at an org chart, you would see the king, Daniel, 2 other princes or presidents. Then you would have the 120 princes of the different, and they were to make sure that the taxes were being paid. They were making sure that the laws were being followed. and making sure, as it says in the Bible, that no damage was going to come to the king. There wasn't going to be an insurrection. And so it was just a governmental hierarchy. But we see Daniel, a Jew, not even a Babylonian, that was set right under the king. It sounds a lot like the story of Joseph, doesn't it? Daniel wasn't flashy. He just got the job done. He just did what he was supposed to do. In a sense, he was a faithful employee. And he was a follower. He was a faithful follower of Jehovah. He was just faithful, period. Period. I read about an NBA player that they call the Iron Man. He played the most consecutive games played by any player. He made it to the All-Star game one time in 1990. He never made All-Defensive team. He was never the leading scorer. He was never very flashy. He was a grinder. He just never gave up. In the process of his 16-year career, A.C. Green played 1,192 consecutive games. He only missed three games his entire playing career. His streak of consecutive games played almost ended when they played New York Knicks, when an opposing player intentionally elbowed him in the face. A.C. Green lost two teeth that game and sustained a head injury, but was still able to continue his streak the next game by wearing a protective mask. He just wanted to be faithful to what he was called. Let me tell you something else about A.C. Green and why I believe he was so faithful to the team. It's because he was faithful to his God. A.C. Green is a believer, and he had a streak that was even more impressive than his most games played consecutively. A.C. Green vowed to God that he would remain pure throughout his playing career, despite living in a corrupted culture that promoted promiscuity. They glorified immorality. He kept that promise. All through those 16 years playing in the NBA, he ended his abstinence streak only after he got married in 2002 at the age of 38. God always honors faithful service. He may never promote you and give you accolades in the eyes of men. The Bible says that he's keeping records. And I hope that you understand that what you do for the Lord, while may not be recognized by anyone else, God recognizes. God sees it. In Revelation 22:12, it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Do you delight in doing God's will in your life? Do you enjoy walking with Him? I hope that you can say, even with the psalmist, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Daniel's station was a promotion by God. Where does promotion come from? It doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes from the north. And really, the idea is that promotion comes from God. I don't think that our goal should just be to get to the next rung of the ladder in the corporate setting. I feel sorry for pastors that are laboring away in a church and their only thought is waiting for the next church to give them a call that might be a few more people. What a horrible way to live a life. Daniel had a station and he was content in that station, but he also had a situation. The other rulers of the kingdom were jealous and they wanted to get rid of him. I think part of it was the fact that he was a Jew, he was a slave, and they were Babylonians. And here this Jewish slave has been put over them in a position of authority. I see that a lot more today in our culture. We're seeing this anti-Semitism. I just want to remind you that the Jews are God's chosen people. And the Abrahamic covenant says that God's going to bless those that bless the Jews. Now, I'm not saying that Jews are spiritual. I'm not saying that they're pursuing after Jehovah. But I am saying that God has given a covenant with Abraham. And if we want God's blessing, we ought to be a blessing to them. We read verses 6 through 9, but they just remind us that of this devious plan to get Darius to make a law that no one could pray to God or he really even asked someone else a request for 30 days. Why do you think the king liked the sound of that? I mean, he was going to have to be on the forefront of anybody's mind before they could even ask somebody else something, let alone praying to a deity. It stroked his ego. It was all about his pride. Daniel's only fault was that he was faithful to the Lord. And the unbelievers around him hated him for it. They despised him because he was different, because he wouldn't do the same things they were doing, wouldn't go to the same places, wouldn't imbibe of the same things. He was honest. He was genuine. Really, Daniel was everything they wished they could be, but never could be, never would be. So they hatched a plan to try to get rid of him. You probably already know this, but if you're going to live for the Lord, there are going to be some people around you that are probably not going to like it. Oftentimes, your godly living will convict those around you. It comes out sometimes like, oh, you think you're better than we are. I hope that's never true of you. We're not better than anyone. Sometimes it comes out and because of your good or holy living, they're convicted and they'll lash out at you. I think that's what was happening here. They saw Daniel's holiness and they said, listen, you think you're better. You're one of those holy rollers. We need to get rid of him. Why? Because they're under conviction. And I think those that are out there that hate God, that don't want God messing in their life, will always look for ways to attack those that are faithful to Him. So I'm saying all that just to say, don't be surprised when someone attacks you and it seems like it's coming out of left field. You say, where is this coming from? Jesus said that's how it's going to be. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Why is that? Because there are going to be some that are willing to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going, in a sense, to condemn those that will not. Paul gave a similar warning in 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus might suffer persecution. Now, if you know your Bible, you know I didn't get that right. It says they shall suffer persecution. I remember early on in my Christian walk, I heard a pastor talk about, you know, if being a Christian was against the law, would there be enough evidence to convict you? What about your life tonight? In Daniel's life, there certainly was. What were they honing in on? They were saying, listen, there's this area, there's only one thing that we can attack him on, and that is his devotion to his God. You see, Daniel's station in the situation, we see Daniel's sanctification through this all. The Bible tells us that Daniel was promoted because he had an excellent spirit. It just carries the idea of being superior or extraordinary. Daniel has a spirit in him that sets him apart from everybody else. I think it really carries the idea of this extraordinary attitude that he had. He had a good attitude. He was different than the people around him. We get in this idea of just some people see the glass half full and some people see it half empty. And I'm telling you, Christians shouldn't be that way. We ought to be able to see the blessings that God has given to us. We ought to be able to have a good attitude about the things that we experience in life. One author said this, the most attractive thing about your life as a Christian will never be what you drive, how much money you have, your title or salary or benefit package. The greatest attraction to Christianity is a Christian who isn't afraid to show the world that he is glad to be one. And so they sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They couldn't find any. He wasn't breaking any laws. There was no secret sin. There was nothing that they could charge him. He was faithful. There's no error or fault found in him. And so when they couldn't find anything, they said, we'll accuse him. We'll set him up because we know that he's going to be faithful to his God. They knew that he was a man of prayer. And so that is why they moved Darius to outlaw prayer for 30 days. Daniel was a man of integrity. And regardless of what the plan was, I was thinking about this even this afternoon. The men went to Darius to set up a law. Then they set up a camp outside Daniel's house because they knew that he was going to be praying three times a day. And they knew when he was going to be praying. And so they sat there. And as soon as they saw him praying, they ran to the king. But I'll tell you, they were two steps behind because Daniel was already talking to the king. He was talking to the King of Kings. We see Daniel's integrity, but we also see his intent. He had purposed in his heart when he was a young boy. And now he was intent to stand for that which is right, simply because it was right. Do you ever weigh the consequences of you taking a stand for what is right and how it could impact you negatively or positively? It gives pause and you think, well, boy, if I say that, I'm going to alienate that family member. Or if I take a stand, then I might not be able to work for this person, or I might not make a sale, whatever it might be. I pray that God gives us a generation of young men and young women that will be faithful to God no matter what. Christians that would rather... they would rather die than dishonor the Lord. And I believe we have a generation that is ready to step up and be committed believers who are determined to be faithful no matter the consequences. I think we have a generation that wants to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And I'll tell you, there's nothing bigger than the cause of Christ. If we want to have influence in our culture, it will only come from our integrity. It's when we stand and do what's right. I see a lot of Christians, and when I say Christians, I'm talking about churches that have this mentality that we're just going to start being like the world to win the world. Whether it's the music, the dress, the mentality, the attitude, the atmosphere. And it's like, we don't want to make people uncomfortable. Now listen, when somebody comes through those doors, we as a church ought to do what we can to make them feel welcome. I hope that there's a line waiting at somebody's seat when they come to visit because people want to get to know them. We want to be a loving, hospitable church. But listen, we do not want to make people comfortable living apart and away from God. I'm sure you've heard of the integrity and influence of a man by the name of William Wilberforce. Wilberforce was a British politician. He was instrumental in the abolition of the transatlantic slave trade. He was born in 1759, and Wilberforce underwent, he got saved. He got wonderfully, gloriously saved, and he became deeply committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He began walking with the Lord. And in his walk, he became completely convinced that the slave trade was incompatible with Christian principles. And he spent the next 20 years campaigning for its abolition in the British Parliament. And in 1807, his efforts finally bore fruit when the Slave Trade Act was passed, abolishing the slave trade in the British Empire. But he continued working towards abolition of slavery itself, which was achieved in 1833, just a few days before he died. God used him, but I believe he used him because he was faithful. He had integrity, and that integrity gave him influence in the world, in the sphere that he is given. I want to tell you something. Every one of you have the potential to have influence in the sphere of life that God has placed you. You rub shoulders with people that I will never meet. You have the ability to impact and influence the culture and the people around you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you're like the world, if you're double-minded and you're living like the world and you're inviting somebody to church and things are different here, listen, God just wants somebody with integrity, and with that integrity comes the influence. And that's what happened to Daniel's life. Daniel had integrity. Daniel's intent was to serve the Lord. When the king signed the decree, Daniel was faced with a dilemma. Is he going to remain faithful to the Lord, or is he going to bow to the pressures of the world around him? You know, when I read about Daniel, it doesn't seem like it's much of a crisis to him. He's not panicking. He's not complaining. He's just faithful. He just keeps doing what is right because it is right. He did what he always did. You know what he didn't do? He didn't start becoming suddenly a religious zealot that was starting to add a bunch of things to show the world how spiritual he was. No, he just did that which he's always been doing. Friends, I hope that you have a faithful walk with the Lord Jesus Christ so that when trials come, it's not a mad dash to find out where is God in all of this. It's, I'm just going to meet with God today like I did yesterday. I'm going to trust Him to help me to through this valley just like I trusted Him on the top of on the mountaintop yesterday. Daniel's intent to serve the Lord was clear. He made it very clear. I'm not going to back down. I ran across a list of 9 things that Daniel chose to do because that was his intention, that was his purpose, that was his choice. These are not original with me. I'm going to read them off kind of quickly, but I think it's important to see that the direction he was pointed caused him to make these decisions. He chose obedience to God over opportunities in the world. He chose faithfulness to God over the favor of the king. He chose devotion to God over the decree of the king. He chose bowing before God to bowing before his culture. He chose a faithful testimony over fleeting treasures. He chose commitment over compromise and faithfulness over freedom. He chose love over life. And he chose character over comfort. Daniel's intent that was simply this: I'm going to walk with the Lord. He had integrity. He had intent. Very quickly, I want you to see Daniel's identity. Verses 12 through 17, Daniel's enemies would see him praying before the Lord. But as I said, he was way ahead of them. They accused Daniel to the king, and what happened? The decree came down. The king looked for a way to break it. He couldn't break it. And so Daniel was condemned to the den of lions. Now, I'm going to say this is a technicality, but it's not Daniel in the lion's den. A lion's den can be empty, but if you talk about a den of lions, it tells you there's not just one, but there's at least 2 hungry, ravaging lions that are waiting for him. But Daniel's identity was not bound up in being a dignitary for the Babylonian Empire. He wasn't scheming and conniving and figuring out, how can I stay at the top of the heap? No, he was leaving that to the Lord. His identity was being in a chosen, one of the chosen people of God, being a follower of Jehovah. That's where his identity was. We've been spending several of our Sunday mornings talking about our identity in Christ. We talked this morning a little bit about adoption. I'll tell you, if you want to have an impact, you need to have a good handle on your identity, because from your identity will flow the rest of your life. And that's what happened with Daniel. He said, before I'm an employee, before I am a diplomat, before I am anything, I am a follower of Jehovah. For the Christian, it should be before anything else, I am a Christian. I am a child of the Most High God. Daniel had integrity. Daniel had the right intent. He squared up. He was going in the right direction. Daniel had the right identity. I want you to know that Daniel had an incredible impact in his world. He influenced it for God. When he's thrown down into the den of lions, the king goes back. He can't sleep. He's restless. He runs back the next morning, and what happens? He calls out, Daniel! Daniel! Did your God keep you alive? It's interesting, isn't it? Daniel had an impact. Why would anybody go to that den of lions and think for one moment that anybody would still be alive there? Because there had been a steady walk through chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 5 of God using Daniel to show the leadership there that God was sovereign. I could put it another way. Darius ran to the den of lions because he knew Daniel was faithful. He had an impact. What happened then? You know the story. Darius writes a new decree. And those that accused him, not just them, but their families, are thrown into the den of lions. They weren't very hungry when they were done with that. I'm just saying they were slaughtered, not the lions, but the accusers. And in that, well, let's just look at verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Think about the impact that this one man had. I think about the 12 apostles, including Paul, but what was said about them? They turned the world upside down for the cause of Christ. God used them in amazing ways. But it wasn't because they were amazing people. It was simply because they were faithful. They walked with God. They trusted God. They had integrity. They had purpose in their heart to do right. They had the right intent. Daniel had the right identity. He belonged to God first, before anything else. And because of those things, Daniel had a great impact in his world. I think those are the keys to faithfulness right there. Our integrity, our intent, our identity, those all lead to us having an impact. Christian, don't live for that one time when God may use you in an amazing way. If you're not walking with Him faithfully today, you're not going to be ready at that critical juncture. But if you walk with Him day by day, you have a life of integrity, character, walking with Him, walking in the Spirit, you will impact the world in which He's placed you. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful today. Be faithful tomorrow. In 50 years at the Lord's tarry, you will have lived an impactful life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be faithful. Let's pray together.